Thank you very much, Tanya. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is a BC members call taking place on the 4th of October, 2013. On the call today, we have Gabriela Slack, Barbara Wanner, Chris Chaplow, Aisha Hassan, Ron Andrews, Elisa Cooper, Andy Abrams, Jim Baskin, Anjali Hansen, Philip Corwin, Marilyn Cade, Richard Friedman, Steve Del Bianco, and Mark Sloan. We have apologies from David Ferris, Sarah Deutsch, Jonathan Callahan, Elizabeth Sweezy, Emily Patullo. I would like to remind all participants to please state your names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Elisa.
Thanks, Benedict Adam. Hi, everyone. So we have another full agenda today, so I want to jump right in. I've got a few things that I'd like to cover before we turn it over to Chris. We haven't heard from Chris in a while, mostly because in many cases we've run out of time, so we want to make sure we get an update in terms of where we are with finances. Then we'll move on to the council discussion, and maybe we can talk a little bit about, I know that Steve is going to talk through a full policy update, but also to hear kind of what's going on with the council in particular. We talked about last time the issues around singular and plural strings. Then a quick update from Marilyn, and then to Steve so we can spend the bulk of our time again on policy. So in terms of a few items that I'd like to cover, we are, you know, in the process of getting ready for the meeting in Buenos Aires, and I saw from a lot of the email back and forth in terms of who we invite to the Tuesday breakfast that there's a lot of, along with interest in speaking with the GAC, there's also a lot of interest in hearing from the SSAC, the Security and Stability Advisory Committee. And the plan is, I think, to try to speak with them as part of the full CSG, possibly on Sunday, but I don't have any confirmation of that. But I have flagged them as a group to possibly speak with when either, you know, on our Monday or Wednesday lunch during the lunchtime. I understand that they're already booked for the Tuesday, but I wanted to hear from others if there are other groups like that which you would like to meet with during Buenos Aires. I mean, my feeling is we want to try to spend as much time focusing on our own policy issues, but if there are any particular groups, I would ask you to take it to the list, and I'll just send out also a reminder asking, but I would like to make sure that our meeting is productive and that we're hearing from groups that you want to speak with. The second item that I'd like to cover is our charter update and our charter amendments. You know, my apologies for that. We've had so much going on. It's, you know, it feels like it's stalled out a little bit. But what I'd like to do is ask if there is a volunteer that would be willing to kind of take that up and continue to move forward. We've, you know, I think the last set of changes may have come, I think they were coming from oh, my gosh, I forget now. They came from Google, I think, the last set of changes around the election term. But I'm wondering if there's somebody on the call today that might be interested in kind of taking up, helping to gather up those charter amendments so that we can continue to move forward with that. Are there any volunteers out there?
Elisa, it's Marilyn. If the secretary could gather all of the submissions today and put them into a single markup document, I'd be happy to work with others to make sure we have a complete file. But if we could get the secretary to take all of them, I'd be happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I do recall that I think it was Aparna who had actually put in the last set of changes, and I think that went into the fully marked up document, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
So I don't know if there's any work for Benedetta to do. If there is not any volunteer that's part of the BC that's willing to take that up, that's fine. We can.
I was volunteering, but I was just asking to have a single unified document.
Yeah, I think you can use the last version that was sent out where a partner made her changes.
This is Gabby.
Hi, Gabby.
I'm also volunteering to help Marlene with this.
Okay, great. The next item is that I wanted to talk about is around the election that is now open for both positions. And again, congratulations to Stefan Van Gelder for being nominated for the chair-elect for the nominating committee. That's great news. As you all know, we did decide to move forward with an election for both positions. And that election just opened today. I saw that Benedetta sent out an announcement on that. So that nomination period, I believe, runs for a full 2 weeks. Then the last area I wanted to cover was I wanted to, I had spoken a little bit earlier this week with Anjali about putting together sort of a subcommittee around outreach to small and medium businesses. And so I wanted to turn it over to Anjali to talk about that.
Thanks, Alisa. I had sent out an email to the list stating that I thought it would be a good idea to perhaps do some outreach on, especially on the new GTLD issue, to small and medium-sized businesses. And I got a lot of positive feedback from several of you about that. And Alisa had recommended that I put together a strategic sort of plan and a list of targets who we might try to target to get more business support and just sort of broaden our reach and awareness of the BC. So what I've done thus far is I've come up with sort of an idea of the content of that type of outreach, and I thought maybe what we could do is, not sure yet how to target everyone, but one option is to have like a website or a webinar or, you know, engage other associations in different countries to do a bit of educating on the current, you know, state of the new GTLD program, the rights protection mechanisms, brand protection, and also how they could become involved with the BC, so it'd be a bit of promoting our constituency as well. So the people that I heard from that I thought would be great to participate in this as a little working group or committee would be Gabby and Celia, Angie Graves, Marilyn, Yvette from CADNA. And then, of course, we were going to try to coordinate with ICANN, Chris Mondini. I'd love Aisha with the Chambers, if she has any time. And anybody else who wants to be a part of that, especially looking for people in with contacts with small and medium businesses, or at least knowledge of contacts in Africa and the Middle East. Gabby and Celia will be great for Latin America. And what the organization I work for, the Better Business Bureau, we have over 400,000 businesses that we work with in Canada or that are accredited and that we have a listserv access to in North America, Canada, and the United States. And we're actually, it's not public yet, but we're also adding BBB in Mexico. So we'll have that market with contacts there as well to start doing outreach to businesses. So what I was going to propose is that I start working immediately with Celia and Gabby because of the upcoming Buenos Aires conference, and that we could target, you know, businesses in South America. I think that makes sense. And then, you know, the next phase could be North America, including Mexico, and then Europe, Middle East, and Africa. So I would just like to put together a small group that we can come up with, like some overview of what we, the message that we want. It has to be succinct, you know, and then ask for some help from people in those different regions that have business contacts, including associations that anyone knows of. So if anyone who else is interested in working on this project, if you could just email me and Or if you don't have time to work on the project, but you know of associations, business associations, small business associations, and other countries I also thought of, you know, like maybe some of the international organizations that we could, you know, ask them to promote this message campaign for on our behalf. That would be great. Any questions?
No, I think that sounds great, Anjali, and I think it's great. I really appreciate you taking this on, because I know that small businesses, a group that I think we have a hard time reaching out to, and our message does not get to them. You know, they don't have the resources, you know, to engage directly with ICANN. So I think, you know, if we can at least bring some of the messages of what's going on at ICANN and how this is impacting them, I think that'll be a great thing.
It's Marilyn. Can I just note that I think Jimson got disconnected. He's representing Avicta, but Anjali, I'm sure he'll want to join you. And I think we've got some other folks that will join your initiative as well. But I wanted to mention Avicta that's been engaged, but Jimson just got disconnected. So maybe when he's reconnected, he could just comment and join the working group.
Great. Yeah, I'll do a follow-up email, and I'll include him on that.
Yeah, this is Gabby, so I can also offer some material that I already done in Spanish. I'm not sure if in the group will be Spanish speakers, but we can start looking at that and figuring out if that is the message we want to send or what message, like, it's something to start with. This video that I did for Internet Day in Argentina, and that was spread in the region. So maybe we can use some of that material, maybe translate it into English or other languages as well, or use at least part of it if it's useful for others.
That'd be fantastic that it's in Spanish, yes. And if you can translate it so we can just look at the content and then maybe add to it. I've done a webinar, and I know others have done webinars on these issues, so we could take our slides from those presentations and see what you have and package it for different markets. And we'd have to get different languages translated into different languages as well.
Excellent. I'll send it to you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Anjali. I think that's a great initiative. I'd like to move on to Chris Chaplow now to give us an update on finances.
Right. Thanks very much, Elisa. Chris Chaplow speaking, and thanks for moving up the agenda. I won't abuse that position. I'll just be as brief as I can. Okay. ICANN general budget, on the 22nd of August, the board approved the FY14 operating plan and budget, and that was almost identical to the draft. In fact, the operating expenses, 84.571 million instead of 84.499 million, gives you an indication of how little change there was. That's the non-GTLD operating expenses. Two exceptions that had been mentioned in Durban. One exceptional items. One was 3.5 million for the strategic panels, and the other was 0.7 million for two Atlas at-large summits in London. I can't find any mention of the ICANN labs, which I understand is costing about $1.9 million. In fact, the budget document, as approved, is the shortest. It's really been cut down just to the meat. It's only 20 pages, so it's the shortest one I've seen for many years. FY13 expenses, that's the year that's closed, the forecast on the costs, have now gone down from 68 down to 65, and that was on a budget of 77. So that's interesting that the year before, 77 million was budgeted, only 65 million was spent. This year, as I've just said, 85 million is the budget, so see how that pans out. Looking forward to this year or next year's budget cycle, there's supposed to be a budget process development group in this part of the year. I've not heard anything about that starting. There's likely to be a couple of calls for that. and that's for talking about the process in advance of the budget round of documents and comments, which would start next January. That's also usually based on, remember, the strategic plan is usually published about now in October. Now, last year, the strategic plan was more or less a carbon copy of the year before because there was going to be a big review of the strategic plan. I don't have any news on what this year is going to see, whether the consultants or whether there's been a lot of work done on the strategic plan. But that's certainly one for us to look out for when that comes out. Moving on to SOAC support requests. The CSG leaders had a call with Rob Hogarth back on the 3rd of September to discuss the implementation of the requests that were approved this year, namely secretarial support, banking support, outreach events, outreach materials. And I pricked my ears up when Anjali was just talking earlier because we have got funds from ICANN for that. That's the good news, I don't see any reason why your project couldn't, if we wanted some collateral or PDFs or some, we couldn't make use of that, so I can explain that later. That's the good news. The bad news is that the rules have changed and it's got to be done, it's got to be produced through ICANN's communication department, through ICANN's languages department, which we haven't done in the past. So that's likely to be more time-consuming and more difficult, I imagine. But you're welcome, Anjali. Welcome to be a guinea pig on that one, I would think.
That's great information. Thank you.
Yes, I can help point in that direction. There's going to be a follow-up call, which is now overdue. And I haven't heard anything about that, so I think we probably should chase that one up. And I haven't seen a transcript. Benny, are you listening? Have you seen a transcript from that 3rd of September call?
Yes, I sent it to you about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, great. Thank you. Good. Great.
Okay, so my apologies.
I'll send a more detailed action list for that. Okay, so that's for that subject. And then just to mention BC finances, we've just completed the third quarter of the year. And as far as I know, we're pretty much on budget. I want to do a detailed reconciliation now. We've completed the third quarter with Benny. So I'm happy to report, we'll be happy to report that back to members on the next call or in Buenos Aires. And of course, we don't need to start thinking about next year's budget. I think it would be desirable for the Finance Committee to be able to publish this, you know, in mid-January, really do this fairly quickly ahead of the elections. I think that would probably be a good idea. That was about it as a quick overview, Elisa. Happy to take any questions.
Any questions? That was really great, Chris. Thank you so much for all the information. And, I think it's fantastic if you can do a detailed reconciliation. And I know I'm interested to just see exactly where we came up. I know there are things that we did not actually spend funds on, and so it'd be interesting to see if, that savings allowed us to be on budget. So it'd be great to see kind of where things are.
Yes, certainly. Three out of three-quarter position point.
Yeah. That'd be great. Now, moving on, I'm not sure if either John or Zahid are on the call.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Over to you, John.
Okay, thanks, Elisa. So the council meeting next week has four items, I think, that are of highest interest to the business constituency. The first one is the attempt via the motion to approve the framework for cross-community working groups to reinvigorate that discussion. You may recall that the GNSO council formed the drafting team and then invited other SOs and ACs to comment. Few did, and those that did had more problems with the effort than support, and so there's an attempt to start over, essentially. And because I was involved in the initial work, I have agreed, should the motion pass, to be the chair of this particular effort. I don't know why I've done something as crazy as that, but I do believe that it's important for us to figure out how to organize cross-community working groups as we look at the future of a much more commingled ICANN community. The other matters that I think are important, I know the VC membership has been deeply involved and tracked closely the development of the new registrar or accreditation agreement. There are a number of things that were points of discussion on the VC list that did not make it into the new agreement, the 2013 agreement. There is a discussion at the council regarding the possibility of a PDP to handle those particular issues. And so if there are any that strike you as still important yet outside the framework of the new RAA, please let me or Zahid know, and we can bring them up during that discussion. The third item that is important is, and fourth item are two things that have been current on the VC mailing list. The first one having to do with string confusion. Essentially, it's singulars and plurals. There's a fair bit of noise being made by the council that the inconsistency with regard to singulars and plurals has led to a certain incredulity in the program and could undermine confidence. And so there's going to be a discussion about what just to do about that. It may be worth listening in on or reviewing the transcript once it's done. There will be a similar discussion with regard to the IGO, INGO names. Thomas Rickert, who's the chair of that working group, will be leading the conversation, offering a report as to where things are. I know that we're in the midst of or have just concluded a review of a letter on these matters, and so they will be the basis for Zahid and I during the council meeting. The only other item, and it probably isn't ripe just yet, is the Buenos Aires meeting agenda. I believe that we are going to have the carve-out on Sunday for the constituencies. But if there are any other ideas, suggestions, recommendations, just let us know, and we can float them during the portion of the council meeting that's devoted to the discussion of the Buenos Aires schedule. Any questions on any of that?
I see Ron has his hand raised.
And then thanks, Chair. Thanks, Ron. The question I had, and we might be getting into it later with Steve's policy discussion, but you've raised the issue that council are feeling the pressure on singulars, plurals, and there's a lot of discussion, you know, about that right now. And I just wanted to ask your opinion. Andy, Lisa, and I worked on a draft letter, and I'm wondering if that's something that we might be able to get into the hands of the council, and the council might be able to take that up as a working document and perhaps improve on it to send on to the NGPC or something like that. Your thoughts?
Sure. I think that'd be great. It'd be a good way for the BC to let our colleagues know exactly where we are on the matter. Looking at it a bit more strategically, the confusion that results from the singulars and plurals is all, as ICANN staff would tell you, within the context of the program itself. I mean, the fact that you have different rulings on the same pairs doesn't seem to bother anybody. And I think historically, ICANN has been more than willing to hide behind the successful application of a predetermined process rather than to shift its point of view once something has been underway. I don't know. I can't even guess at what the outcome of the string confusion debate is going to be. But at this point, I think the only thing that we can do is press the matter. And with that, and yes, I think it'd be a good idea to read that letter ahead of time. Any other questions? I'm not on Adobe, so I can't see raised hand. So if someone will just let me know.
Yeah, I'm John. Not go ahead, Marilyn.
I'm not an Adobe either. My apologies. I did have a question, but it's more about the follow-up event that the council is. So on the weekend, there's a, training session or orientation session or something of that nature. I know I had volunteered as one of the executive committee members if no one else was available. But, John, do you have an agenda that you could share with us for that orientation session?
No, I don't have an agenda at this point. And the schedule is that we'll be seconding ourselves on Thursday afternoon and Friday, and then departing Buenos Aires on Saturday morning. It is the result of a suggestion about a year ago that as the new councilors are seated at the annual general meeting, that it might be a good idea to lay over for a day to help introduce those new councilors to their new colleagues, to have the discussion about the methods, processes, policies, and procedures of the council, and to allow the new members to build relationships with their new colleagues so that the work of the council can be that much more productive. So I guess the board meeting ends at about noon or 1 o'clock on Thursday, and then we convene shortly after that, and then on Friday. And I believe it's in the same hotel as the meeting itself. There was some earlier discussion about moving, but it made absolutely no sense. And every once in a while, something that makes no sense actually doesn't get done.
John, just kind of a question. So is the full council, like, pretty much on board with, and I see that a letter was written by Jonathan Robinson on this issue, Steve posted it, but, like, do even the NCSG, like, are they even on board, like, that this is problematic, that this having the delegated singulars and plurals is problematic?
Most of the noise, as you can imagine, comes from the contracted parties.
Uh-huh.
I don't know enough to be able to authoritatively say what the NCSG position is on the string confusion.
Okay. Any other questions?
To that point, the NCSG has had a fairly active rolling participation in the council meetings the last few times. They've had a lot of substitutes, a lot of people missing in action, across the board, there generally is they participate less in the public meetings. They participate less in the meetings than the other constituencies and stakeholder groups.
It's Marilyn. If I might ask a follow-up question on that topic.
Sure.
This has been quite interesting to observe that after insistence that they own all these seats, they haven't actually been able to fill them consistently. There are some other issues that are emerging related to ICANN's role. I don't know if those are any of those coming into the council to affect the council's discussions, the surveillance issues, other issues, or are we sort of okay with the idea that the council is focused just on its core agenda?
That sounds like a Bengal tiger trap. No, we have not had any discussion about the summer of Snowden, about the criticism from the Madam President of Brazil, rattling of the EU commissioner's sabers with regard to the safe harbor. So no, it's been pretty much focused on the things that, that we're supposed to be focused on.
Well, the reason
I asked, Ron has his hand raised, and then Steve, and then we should definitely move on because I know that Steve's got a pretty full policy calendar to run us through. So Ron, okay. And then Steve.
Okay.
Thank you, Lisa. So just a quick follow-on then, John and Steve. I see, and Steve's following me, so he can probably answer this question as well. If, in fact, the council had sent this letter on the 18th of September, and I just quickly scanned it, it's probably a better move for us as the BC to send our own letter and perhaps reference and support council's letter to make it just underscore all that. So I just wanted to add that to the conversation. Thank you.
Okay. Steve?
Thanks, and we will cover the singular plural letter draft, and I have some suggestions for how to change the BC letter, but we'll cover that at that part of the call. For purposes of council discussion, you do have item 9 on your agenda is the issue surrounding string confusion, and if staff is part of your council call, it would be fabulous to get Christine Ouellet, who runs the new GTLD program, to follow up on what she said in her video, and I put into the chat a link to this, but she said, quote, there's not an appeals process, but staff is working diligently with its dispute resolution providers to ensure all the procedures have been followed and look at the expert determination. And we're looking at the consistency issues. Consistency issues are key to the business constituency's letter draft on singular plural. So, John, I would just invite you to watch Christine's video. I've transcribed the key sentences.
Can you send that link to me separately? I'm not in the Adobe room.
I will, John. I will. And then you could have an opportunity to probe staff. I might even request that Christine join the call for that portion of the council call agenda and probe her as to what kind of things can we do to ensure consistency, not just with GNSO recommendations on string similarity, but consistency among the different dispute resolution providers who are currently reaching different decisions on identical facts.
Great.
Okay?
That's Thank a great you. Idea, and I'll do it.
All right. So why don't we, Marilyn, if we can get a quick update, and then we'll go to Steve.
So on the CSG topics, I sent out a number of updates about our trying to figure out who's going to speak when on the CSG. For right now, I'd like to just focus on an update, make sure everybody understands what the CSG role is on elections. Because we can deal with speakers and other issues by email. But I saw an email on the list that seemed to indicate that we should brief the members on how the business constituency participates in elections for vice chair and for chair. So I'm going to just speak briefly on that. I have a whole briefing document that I can send out, but I think it's really important for the business constituency members to understand how we fit into the overall structure on vice chair and chair elections for the council. First of all, those elections are done by the councilors, and most members who've been around a long time understand that, but the different constituencies vote whether under instruction or in free form. Our constituency CSG representatives have typically voted under instruction after consultation within the CSG. We obviously have nothing to do with the vice chair election from the contracted party house. Any member of the BC who is also active in the contracted party house is completely segregating their interaction from our house according to our charter. So whatever they're doing there, not a part of our alignment, and we, of course, would not discuss that. They're free to do whatever they do. For us, we have a vice chair for the non-contracted party house. Due to a long-term negotiation, we agree to rotate the nomination process. Things were very contentious in the last round, including a ombudsman complaint about how the process went down. The non-commercial stakeholder group will nominate a vice chair candidate for this round. If that candidate gets 8 votes, and that means they have to have all 6 votes from their house plus 2 from either 1 from our house or plus 1 from the nominating committee appointee or 2 from our house. And if they don't get 8 votes, then we go into a negotiated process which puts further candidates forward for vice chair. Vice chair candidates obviously have to be elected counselors. We've tried to create a more amenable, more collegial approach in working with non-commercial house, but Steve Metalis from the IPC will be carrying forward an outreach to the other half of the house so that we can move forward. But the thing to understand is the non-commercial stakeholder house owns the opportunity to put forward a candidate. Wolf Ulrich from the ISCs has been a vice chair for two one-year cycles. So prior to that, we had a vice chair from the non-commercial house, Mary Wong. Most of you know her. She's now an ICANN staff person, but at the time was from the NCUC. So this is going to be something that will evolve, and I think the most important thing I want you to understand is the CSG will be working on this, and we will work to keep you informed and ask your input as we get information from the non-commercial stakeholder house about who they think the candidates are. On the chair overall, that is something that we should schedule a separate conversation on, since right now it looks like Jonathan will stand again and maybe other people who stand as well. Remember, the votes are cast by the counselors, so it would be, once we know who the candidates are, we would be advised by the counselors on their suggestions. Elections are taken by the post council. So it's any new incoming counselors will get to vote. There's a very limited number of incoming counselors. The VC, of course, will have one. There's also a new counselor from the nominating committee coming in. So maybe we should just think about timing and ask Elisa to schedule a time with the counselors when we can talk about the chair election.
All right, Marilyn. Anything else? Okay. Thanks, Marilyn. So before we move on to policy, I just wanted to, and Steve just gave me a little heads up, just wanted to remind everyone, as you know, we are in the election process for both our counselor position as well as our nominating committee position, the small business seat. What I want to remind you about is that diversity is not necessarily required, but it is desired. It's, I believe the wording in the document that Benedetta sent around said something along the lines that the candidate for the GNS Oh, counselor position should be from a region other than the North American region, but it says should. So just to remind everyone, I think we may have spoken about this last time, we did say that if we do not find a candidate that is outside of the North American region during the initial nomination period, that we would extend the nomination period for an additional week. At any rate, just wanted to remind everyone about that. Why don't we, at this point, any questions about anything before we move on to John? I'm sorry, Steve? Okay, Steve, it's all you.
Thanks, Elisa. Everyone, I sent around a policy calendar yesterday, and I don't have to repeat too much that's in there. I'll highlight certain things and try to coordinate a little bit of discussion on items that need action and items that need volunteers. On page one of the policy calendar, the second item I had was collision mitigation proposal. The BC filed strong comments on this. ICANN staff posted a summary of those comments, but it included no analysis or recommendations. There was an expectation that staff would have analysis and recommendations on what to do about collisions with new TLDs today, because the board's new GTLD program committee, we call it the NGPC, they're meeting this afternoon on a conference call, and the item on their agenda is what to do about the collision proposal. Three BC members attended an event in Washington, D.C. on October the 1st on collisions. Anjali, Phil Corwin, Jim Baskin, and myself. It was a full-day event sponsored by new GTLD applicants, and they went through probabilities of collisions, mitigation proposals, and folks from the ANA also presented in the afternoon. I got up on multiple occasions and quoted from the business constituency concerns and comments on collision, and I think we sounded entirely reasonable and tried to be fact-based, and I put my programmer's hat on to wallow in the weeds of DNS resolver protocols a little bit, because I think we needed to. There were three points the BC made in what I would characterize as an audience that's hostile to the notion that collisions are of any consequence at all. The first point I made is that there are costs and consequences of collisions, and those are more important than worrying about the probability or the parts per million, as they say. Because if there's only 50,000 collisions over a two-day period, they're claiming that that is a low enough probability that the risk has been mitigated. If some of those 50,000 collisions occur in your business or mine, the costs and consequences become the whole story. Because if it happens to you, the probability just went to 100%. So I think they bought the point that minimizing is not the same as mitigating. Number two, I asked this killer question that with BC comments, which is the staff plan says that the high-risk strings, those are corp and home right now, and the undeterminate risk strings, roughly 20% of them, can simply move to delegation if they provide evidence to staff that they've reduced collisions to an acceptable level. That's in the plan. And as the BC and NetChoice and others pointed out, there's no process to determine what is an acceptable level, especially once we're underway and the collisions have actually had consequences. We really want to understand that. The answer I got back was very troubling. A couple of members of the panel said that as long as there were no more collisions than we had with .Asia, they would assume that it was acceptable risk. So they're making everything relative to parts per billion, relative to previous delegations, and they're not really worried about consequences. And the final BC point I made was that we need a process to monitor the actual consequences, business interruptions and costs. We might have to monitor how long it takes for businesses to change their internal systems to stop referencing things like .mail. And we need a process for ICANN to require a TLD registry to block certain second-level domains that are causing collision, potentially even to temporarily undelegate a TLD if the collision is a significant problem. And that's likely to be the case with .mail, based on Google's analysis. Happy to take comments on collisions right now. A lot more will happen later today when the new GTLD program committee makes its decision on how to proceed. So I'll take a cue on questions on collisions, and then we'll move on.
It's Marilyn. I'd like to be in the queue.
Go ahead, Marilyn. Go ahead, Marilyn.
Thank you, Steve. But I just want to be careful here. I don't have a client. I'm not an applicant. So, I think sometimes we need to be careful in the BC as elsewhere. So I have no vested interest. I'm not an applicant. None of the people I advise are applicants. But I have strong concerns about collisions. And I just want to comment about this. The event that was held, that event was mostly, as far as I could tell, affected parties. But there's still a series of studies and analysis that indicate that there are risks and concerns. And for business users, we typically need to be cautious and err on the side of limiting risk as opposed to introducing risk. Can you comment on not about that event, which was a semi-social event organized by affected parties that want to be, they're kind of the wannabes, but could you comment on the broader issue of the inputs in the public forum that indicate risk and additional research or indicate that there's no need for additional research?
Yeah, thanks, Marilyn. Great comment. So you used two key words, is that we're discussing risks and concerns, and risks is a probability measure. And in good faith, the new TLD applicants and ICANN staff and management, I talked with Akram about this on Tuesday night, they believe that managing risks is just getting the probability of a collision down to a level that we've seen before in other TLDs, or 2 days of internet, day in the life of the internet, and that's 50,000 queries. So they're looking at the word risk as probability, and the word concerns that everyone's expressing are being translated to the notion of probability of risk. We have to change that conversation to talk about consequences. What are the consequences when a collision does occur in terms of business interruption and costs to remediate? We just have begun that conversation, and that is the only way forward, is to come up with actual evidence of consequences. So the companies on this call, trade associations on this call that have members, the time is now to learn about specific consequences of a collision. If your business is using .mail, your business is using any of the new TLDs, an internal resource naming, we need to know about it. One of the examples I cited at the event is that Mikey O'Connor hosts corp.com, but he has no content there, but he gets over 10,000 queries a day at corp.com because it's part of an internal resource name used by the U.S. Renal Care Company in Ohio. And the IP addresses are from places all over Ohio, and we don't yet know what the consequence will be when those start to resolve at .corp and how that would affect the U.S. Renal Care, which is a dialysis company's operation. So we need consequences, and we have to stop talking about probabilities. Probabilities are irrelevant if you're one of those 50,000 collisions that occur. All right, let's move on to any other comments on collisions. Great. I'll send an email out later today once the new GTLD program committee discusses it. Numbers 1 and 2 under public comment, I'll simply ask, are there any volunteers who want to weigh in on the DNS Risk Management Framework report? I need volunteers who want to help us on the consultation on the redelegation of GTLDs.
Steve, it's Marilyn. I'm not volunteering, but on the risk management, if you sent an email specifically out to Jeff Brueggemann and Scott McCormick, they may not have noticed the general call, but both of those parties were previously engaged in risk management.
I'll do that. I'll send it to Scott and to Jeff B. Thank you. All right, I'll move on to number 3. This is I have 3 substantive items. See if I can move very briskly here. The first is the draft final report on protecting IGOs and INGOs. Those are intergovernmental organizations and international non-governmental organizations. Things like Red Cross and Olympics are the beginning, but they're just the tip of that iceberg, since there are hundreds of other acronyms seeking the same kinds of protection at the top level and at the second level, and not just new TLDs, but all TLDs. I have already circulated what Elisa Cooper and I thought were appropriate responses for the BC, and for the most part, we agree with the governments and IGO and NGOs in terms of protections at the top level, but we do not agree that they permanently park as ineligible for delegation some of the strings in their list. Examples like CAN, ISO, SCO, IFC, ECO, those are strings that we believe the non-governmental organizations and governments can protect through rights objections, and they need not add them to a reserve name list. So we submitted that for BC to consider. I've asked everyone to reply how they feel about it. We've had 8 members who have signaled support for the draft positions Elisa and I put in. And Marilyn, I want to give you an opportunity to explain your objection. You didn't like the idea of a blanket statement of objection, although that's not what Elisa and I drafted. And then we would need to get a volunteer to turn that table into an explanation, a textual comment. And that would be due by October the 11th. What I had proposed earlier is that BC members weigh in by, I think I said, October 7th, over the weekend, so we can wrap up the BC's yes or no position, but then we need a few days to draft the textual comment, which all of you would have to review as well. So, Marilyn, before I look at the general queue, would you explain your concern over the draft position that 8 of us have agreed on?
Oh, thank you. Actually, you know, I agree with the majority of our comments. There were maybe 3 or 4 areas where I didn't agree. And thought we weren't coming across as ignoring the concerns of the governments, perhaps with some naivete. I think it was 75% of the comments, maybe 80%, I agreed with, and then I raised a question about a limited number.
Like fees, for instance, and the key, Marilyn, would be how we write up the text, because Elisa and I did only the sort of, you know, item by item. And then when we explain it, we have to include sensitivity to their concerns when we explain our position, right? Would you help us to write that text?
Right, but let me comment about fees in particular. I don't think the business constituency looks good or is actually effective to object to the idea that we want to charge government fees to provide objections. If the objection criteria is transparent and validated, governments often cannot provide fees. I'm not going to ask you to, agree with me, but look, I'm trying to go to a UN meeting next week, and the U.S. government can't go because they can't pay the fee. And you don't want to exclude governments. So I'm very concerned about something like the business community objecting and asking that governments have to provide objection fees. We should focus instead on what's the criteria for the objection, and then if governments don't have to pay a fee, there's still a criteria we're in agreement with.
Okay. Any other comments on the IGO, NGO, other than what people have said on the list? No need to repeat all those. All right, thanks. Then over the weekend, I will repeat the call for help on volunteers to draft the text. Marilyn, I'm going to see if I could convince you to help us with that, since you can write with sensitivity to the government's concerns. Are there any other volunteers who would help on that? Great. Thank you. Next item up, the study of who is privacy and proxy abuse. Initial comments are due the 22nd of October, so we have some time. But this is critical to us. The BC was the most vocal advocate for this study. And the results that came back from the experts really verified the BC's suspicions that lots of bad actors do use privacy or proxy to avoid being identified, both by the companies that are victimized and by law enforcement. This is a long report, and it identifies many other things that bad actors do to avoid detection. Like when they don't use privacy and proxy, they just make stuff up and stick it in Whois. So there's lots of ways they get around it, and it's not clear yet what the implications are for further study by the experts or how policy would be informed. This is all part of something that John Berard has said many times at council, is that we should make decisions and policy based on fact, not on fears, and here we have a fact-based study. So let me call now. Is there anybody on the BC, on this call, I should say, who would help us to analyze that report and draft just a page or two of BC comments for further study and policy implications?
Yeah, Steve, I can help with that.
Let's go beyond the list of usual suspects. Who else on the call can help Lisa and I with this?
And I'm sorry, Marilyn, can you just say again what you're looking for?
The study on, this is item 4 in the policy calendar today. It's the Who Is study on privacy and proxy service abuse.
I'm sorry, Steve.
Go ahead, Elisa.
I'm sorry. Did you hear me before that I would be willing to do it?
I did. Thank you, Elisa. And that's why I said, is there anybody beyond the usual?
I'm sorry. Stuff? I'm sure you can all tell I'm sick, and so I'm sorry I couldn't hear you.
No, thank you. And so, Marilyn, the request is to not only read the study, but to assist at drafting BC comments to answer the questions that the study authors put forth.
Right. I was just going to say that actually there's a lot of rich information, and companies like Verizon and various others, and they might not be on the call, but they are BC members, so you might get additional people from a further BC outreach.
Jim, could you check with Sarah on that and see whether she'd be interested in participating? I will also write to Jeff at AT&T and Susan at Facebook.
Yes, I'll talk with Sarah.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that. All right, moving quickly. There is another public comment on public interest commitments and the dispute resolution procedure that would be used. Comments are due on the 23rd of October. The BC was really key to getting ICANN to require public interest commitments be enforceable as part of a registry contract. And now that they're in there, we're down to the process that will be used. If we believe that a registry like .bank is not adhering to what it said it would do, and you've moved your bank from .com to .bank, counting on it, and now you need to hold them accountable to their public interest commitments, how does that dispute process work? To me, this is critical to the business interest of registrants and the customers who are the users. The BC has got to comment on this one. This is item 5 on my policy calendar, and I need a vote.
Steve, can you tell the deadline for this one? This is Gabby.
Thanks, Gabby. I was just asking for volunteers on this, and Gabby, were you putting your name in the hat, or did you ask me a different question?
Oh, I was trying to volunteer myself, but I wanted to know the date. In order to be able that I'm going to be able to do it because I have many time constraints.
Thanks, Gabby. Comments are due by the 23rd of October, so we need to get at least a draft outline of our comments circulated to our members very soon so we can give them 14 days to look at it. So I would say that in the neighborhood of you've got about 5 days, do a quick review of their dispute resolution procedure, and I'm happy to assist you at analyzing that.
Okay, so I'm the volunteer for this one.
Thank you, Gabby. Anjali, I think this would fit squarely with Better Business Bureau. If I could tempt you, Anjali, to give a look at this.
Sure.
Anjali, I want.
Yeah, if you could just send me an email off the list. I do want to volunteer. I didn't volunteer for that last thing because I think there's others that are a little bit more expert on that. But sure.
Thanks, Anjali and Gabby. I'll send you both a follow-up on that. Okay? Thanks, everyone. Let me skip over channel 2 and 3. You've already covered it and go straight to the singular plural, the last item on this call. I know we're at 12 o'clock. Given you what staff said about singular plural, we already have an active letter that's being circulated. I'm going to recommend that we add to that letter a quote from the GAC advice from Beijing where they talked about consumer confusion. And I might even recommend we quote from the council letter suggesting that those procedures were not followed on string confusion. And if I was to circulate that to the group in online, but is there anybody who wants to comment on our singular plural concerns on this voice call before we wrap it up? Seeing none, I'm back to you, Elisa, and I think we're done with policy.
Thank you so much, Steve. That was great. Well, we're at our time, so I want to thank everyone for joining today. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, but we do have another call scheduled in 2 weeks' time, so we'll be able to check in where things stand. And I wish all of you a good day, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you so much.